Hello, welcome to Holden Village. Today is Thursday, July 8th, 1999. In the fireside room this evening, we have a forum. The session number is 998, and it's titled Walmart Superstore, Bride of Christ or Whore of Babylon. Let's listen in.
Evening session of the Bucalia City Council. As you know, a proposal has been made by the Walmart Corporation. They would like our bucolic little town, hence Bucalia, to consider rezoning a parcel of land that they would like to build a super center upon. A super center is like an existing Walmart that you've probably been in, except a lot bigger and a little different. It includes a grocery store within it. In this case, 60,000 square feet of grocery space, which is equivalent to the amount, of retail grocery space outside of the town of Bucalia in the rest of the county. So in other words, the 60,000 is equivalent to everything else outside of the town of Bucalia, where there are in fact other grocery stores. So obviously, the city council has to decide. We're really grateful that all of you citizens have come this evening to talk about this. There are some folks that have already signed up. They beat you to the punch. They got here a little earlier than you did, and so they've all apparently gathered here in the front of the room. They're listed here on the order that they signed up. Connie Groth, Nellie Merchant, Adam Smythe, Rick Newcomb, and Reverend John Patmos, who is right over here, apparently not sitting
you
with
us. Certainly know that.
So I've asked each of them to confine their remarks to 2 to 3 minutes so that all of us have an opportunity to discuss this matter. As the mayor of the city, I'm trying to remain impartial and neutral, and I'll try to just facilitate our conversation this evening.
Mayor, would you start the tape, please?
Oh, that would be a good idea. for those that are taping this session to report it to the media, you can roll the tape. And so, Connie, why don't you lead off?
My name's Connie, and I'm a single mother of two, and trying to get them through school, and trying to put shoes on their feet. And prices have just been way too expensive in our town of Bucalia for too long. And I'm here to say that we need affordable clothing and food for our children, especially for families like mine. And I think that this Walmart Supercenter is just a positive thing, even though people are saying that it isn't.
Right.
Thank you. I see that it could bring great economic growth to this community, and as a single parent who spent 9 months looking for a job, and I was on unemployment for a very long time, I just see this as a positive way for people to get jobs in the community, and this could benefit our schools and our roads. From what I hear, I'm not knowledgeable on taxes, but that it could help us with our tax base. And I read in Women's Day the other day, the magazine, that studies show that while some businesses will be hurt, most will gain from the super center because more people from our county will come to shop in Bucalia. And I guess just the bottom line, besides my children, is that if the Walmart doesn't build a super center here, they will build it somewhere else, and then I'm going to have to drive further away for these good prices, and I'll have less time to spend with my children. I guess that's all I have to say.
Or children.
They'll come around, don't worry.
I'm Nellie Merchant, and I am a bookstore owner in downtown Bucalia. And it's a fairly small bookstore, new and used, and that sort of thing. And I really feel that bringing a Walmart into our town of Bucalia would not be helpful to our overall community. as I see things, there are a few things that are core to creating a sustainable and bucolic sort of bucolia. One of those being economic stability, and the other being citizen involvement and a sense of community. And I would argue that Walmart's not going to provide either of those things. Economic stability, the kinds of jobs that Walmart's going to bring in are low-paying jobs with little to no benefits. There are some cases where people do get benefits from jobs at Walmart, but in general, it's not the case. Though that kind of job is not going to be helpful to the overall sustainability of our community. It's not going to be able to pay for the kinds of clothing and food that Walmart even provides. And lower prices in general are not really the answer to our problems of low wages and jobs that don't pay much. The problem lies somewhere else. Low prices is not going to solve that overall problem. Walmart would also, I think, tend to define our community as a community of consumers. And I don't think that that's what we are. We're a community of involved citizens that are active in politics, and that's why we're all here tonight. And Walmart would not provide that. They're a company that's based a long way away, certainly not in Bucolia. And they would not be active citizens within our community. So for those reasons and others, I just don't feel that Walmart is a good idea for this town.
Well, my name is Adam Smith. And you know, Nell, you and I have known one another for a long time, but you're just out to lunch on this one. Now, let's take this book, for example, C.S. Lewis, The Four Loves. I went to Half-Price Books, and I got this book for $4.95. I go to your bookstore, I have to pay $10, plus more taxes. Now, think about that over and over again for shoppers that go to Walmart. They save lots of money. That means I got $5 more in my pocket just from this book. I go to Walmart and I buy my stuff. Maybe I got $150. Pretty soon, I look over and I think, you know that new car that I've been wanting, I can probably afford that now because I've saved so much money at Walmart. That's good for the economy. It's going to keep it's going to get the car sales going. It's going to get the community going. You know, I haven't been there yet, but this mega mall thing really got my attention. And I think maybe we can make this Walmart such a big superstore. It'll be a mini mega mall. And people are going to come. They're going to flock from all over. The airport's going to love it. People might even fly in and shop for the day. We can set up all kinds of specials. And I think that, the point that Connie made is just really a good one, that the bottom line is those low prices, and that's what we need. And poor people, we got a lot of poor people in our community, and I know they don't like to work, but some of them have a little bit of money, and if they got money, they can get a lot better deal if they go to Walmart. And all these liberals, they're always talking about helping the poor, and here we got a chance to help the poor, and they probably aren't going to do it. Now, we all know that the world has changed a lot, and the way it is now is you got to do economies of scale, economies of scale, economies of scale. All I hear in my life, economies of scale, and it's true. And economies of scale means that Walmart, they can go in and say, I don't want to buy 5 of those, I want to buy 100,000 of those because I got stores all over the country and I can get a better price. So it's economies of scale. Everything's economies of scale. If you don't want to do economies of scale, you're going to go out of business. Pretty soon, you're going to have to get bigger or your bookstore is not going to be there. It's just the way that it is. And one other thing I'd like to say is that I think this no growth attitude that's been dominating our community has really hurt for a long time. And we're given, all Walmart's gonna do is give consumers what they want. And I'm afraid that if we follow the logic of, well, we won't allow Walmart, we won't do this and that. If we would've used that logic before, we'd still be going around in a horse and buggy. If we were worried about the automobiles are going to put people out of work who are making horse and buggies, where would we be? This is progress. We've got to go with the flow. It's going to be good for our community.
Boy, I was worried until I heard Adam speak. I was supposed to give a talk here. I came to give a talk. My name is Rich Newcomb, against this store. But he's really given such a powerful witness against the store, intending to favor the store, that I don't really know that I need to say much more except to remind you that he wants to consume, basically, and he wants to save money so that he can consume more. You notice he said he was glad to save some money on books so that he could buy a car. So he's infected with a certain kind of mentality that the Walmart store is going to promote being here. In spite of what we heard the first speaker say, that the downtown businesses would flourish by virtue of having a Walmart store here. The only merchant we've heard from, conveniently her name is Nellie Merchant, indicates that she thinks her business will be bad from the result of the Walmart. We'll go out of business, as a matter of fact, as a result. I moved here, just to give you a little background. I moved here to Bucalia. With my family and five children from the big city, from the megapolis, precisely to get away from this kind of super Walmart mentality. And not just the super Walmarts themselves, but the whole mentality that Adam has so eloquently represented that goes with the super Walmarts. I basically think that this town has a kind of distinctive character to it, largely made up by the kind of small merchants downtown who are promoting the kind of care and concern for what they sell and for drawing in local handicrafts people to merchant to market their goods. Nellie, for example, yes, the book is a little more expensive there, The Four Loves, but the people out at Walmart aren't going to call up, as she did, my home, just knowing that my kids were looking for particular kinds of children's books. She remembered that because she lives down the block from us. And so she called and indicated that some new stuff had come in. We went right in there. She knows us. We know her. We live in the same neighborhood. We buy from her, and we would be just very saddened to see this community that we came here to enjoy destroyed by this Walmart. This is a kind of homogenization of American life that we're seeing all over. In other words, pretty soon Bucalia will look just like everywhere else, buying the same goods, going into the same air-conditioned, antiseptic environments to do what Adam wants to do, consume more so that he can consume more so that he can consume more, will be no different from anywhere else. And the reason we moved here was precisely because it was different. That distinctiveness is going to disappear. We're all going to be incorporated into this kind of national consumer mentality, and we'll destroy our city in order to save it. And I'm afraid that's what will happen if we vote tonight to give this zoning ordinance. I oppose it.
Thank you, Rich. Reverend Pat Mons, I think you're the last speaker on our list.
I came here tonight because a number of people have told me, who've been walking around town, that you got a little upset over the fact that on last Sunday's sermon, I compared the town letting this new store being established with our going to bed with the whore of Babylon. I guess that I'm not surprised at that. Because once again, despite the fact that you people tell me all the time that you expect the churches to help our society stand up and maintain the moral tone that we want in this country, when it comes time to do it, you really don't want to be reminded of that at all. And I'm here tonight to tell you again, even if you don't want to hear it, this superstore has got to be stopped because it is the incarnation of evil in our country.
You tell them that.
Now, there are guys like this sitting over here,
amen,
who are supposed to be responsible for looking out after our well-being, and they sit here saying, well, I'm just going to be neutral on this and let you people work it out, when in point of fact, they know that these corporate structures have so much power that they don't even want to give the time to fight them, that we have elected them to give them the time to do it. They know that they're going to be hauled into court and have to work and work and work in order to avoid this corporation, to keep this corporation from coming in, because even if the council votes tonight to stop it, to not allow the changing in the zoning plan, Walmart's going to take the town to court and find some loopholes through our state's constitution to get around the town council's decision to allow the state legislature for the county to mandate this is going to happen. And he knows that he doesn't want to put in the effort. In fact, he's probably been bought off already by the corporation to keep this from happening. We have got to give these people the backbone necessary to stand up and resist the power structure that's coming in here. When I say it's the whore of Babylon, it is something that I'm not kidding about, folks, because you know in your hearts that to the extent that, like poor Connie over here,
wait,
she has
Robert,
seen this has
wait,
only
wait, stop,
has...
Stop.
No, I will not stop. I will
Jesus
not stop.
Is
this
my
is my time,
savior.
My 3 minutes.
My 3 minutes. By going to Walmart.
My 3 minutes, Mr. Mayor.
I know
Get her to
Babylon.
Sit down.
Well, all right. You can have your 3 minutes. Just a moment. We'll engage in a debate in a moment. Although I would prefer that you not hurl ad hominem insults at various people in the group, including myself. Thank you very much. Now, please proceed, Pastor.
If you would let me finish, I was not hurling insults at Connie. I will hurl them at you, however, because of how you conducted yourself in this matter. Poor Connie over here, who has been needing to find employment, has been sucked in to what has been proposed by this mega corporation as a solution to the horrible difficulties that she's been facing. We all know that it is a temporary, at best, solution to the point where we will find our economy completely dragged down as we become a company town and completely, as they used to say, beholden to these people. They're not going to just give us what we want. They're going to tell us what we want. They're going to end up being in a position not to offer us a quality of life and what we need and the kind of jobs and homes and community
Mayor, that's
resources
5 minutes.
We
that's
need.
I only got 3 minutes. That's 5 minutes. And he's got my last offering. I'll tell you that one.
All right. Well, please wrap up the last one. I think you're done. Great. Well, thank you, Pastor. I did indulge him a little bit. After all, preachers are known to be long-winded. But now it's an opportunity for the rest of you to participate in this civil, I hope, discourse about this issue that faces our community. And I invite any of you speaking out of your experience to contribute to this conversation. What would you like to add to this?
Yeah, my name is B.A. Realist. And I think all these ideas are great, but I want to tell you about the little story of Sapfield. Sapfield's been in my hometown. They have these meetings like this, and they thought for all these good reasons we heard about to keep the Walmart out. You know what happened? Walmart went to Drainfield, about 15 miles away, and simply drained the life out of Sapfield. So my hometown is simply gone because everybody goes to Drainfield to shop at Walmart now. So, I mean, let's be realistic here. It's not a question about whether there's going to be a Walmart, it's whether it's going to be in our community or some other community and drain the resources out of our community. So I don't want to be Sapfield, I don't want to be like Drainfield that's drained from elsewhere.
Honorable Mayor, are you aware that the city constitution specifies or does not provide for any improvement in surrounding roads that lead into this new center? The tax basis will be hurting the members of this community. We will be paying for the improvement of the roads that are needed to go into the center.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, this 500 car parking lot that they're going to be building on McAdam will be draining into our pristine river that flows through town.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm aware of that, and just to share the information with you, what the Walmart officials tell us is that they are arranging to have a large area between the Walmart and the river that will filter the chemicals as they come off of this very, very large parking lot. And they assure us, their scientists assure us that in fact by the time the water goes through this filtration process, that it will reach the river in a very clean fashion. In fact, it'll be the cleanest parking lot in the county, because no other parking lot has this sort of drainage mechanism. Now, the other point that you raised is very interesting, and I agree with you. You're absolutely right that if we do decide to change the land and to rezone it from agricultural to commercial, it does mean that we have a responsibility to develop and maintain the roads to this commercial facility in order to preserve the public safety. And that will mean putting in probably a four-lane road that leads right up on each corner of the property. Now, the trick here is that, as you know, Walmart is already asking us to share some of their development costs. That hasn't come out, but that will come out shortly.
Could I interject something on that also? As the pastor did bring up here, the developer for Walmart has already stated in the paper that if the Planning Commission does not approve this, he will take it to the ballot, get it on the ballot. If the people do not approve it, he will sue the city.
Yes, and in a previous court case in our town, as you may recall, 10 years ago, we fought the same battle and lost. And it cost our city $100,000. And that's one reason, quite frankly, why your political leadership is a little cautious right now, because we don't want to cost you, our taxpayers, a large amount of money, which is what could happen if Walmart decides to sue us again in order to build their super center.
But Mayor, if you believe all this stuff about the environmental issues, you don't understand why they named that town Drainfield, where they moved the Walmart, according to VA Realist. They call that town Drainfield for a reason. Sure, they've got a lot of consumer activity over there, but the town is seriously polluted and congested. The traffic, the extra toxins into the air from all those emissions that come from all those automobiles there. There's been more accidents in that town involving traffic, but also involving children on bicycles and so forth, than they ever had before. So I think it really depends on what you mean by flourishing here.
But I think we have to stop looking at the big numbers and all that. I mean, these are my children, and I'm a Christian, and I would love to be able to be like Miss Merchant and have a sport utility vehicle, but I don't. And if I could choose voluntary simplicity, I would. But it's a fact of life that I need to love my children. I want to love them, and the only way that I can do that is by finding low prices for food for their lunches and clothes that will fit them and keep them warm. I mean, you know what the winters are like here.
Mr. Smith?
I think Connie makes an excellent point about the children. I would just like to extend that and say that, you know, by getting Walmart in here, we're doing a great service, because Walmart is the largest employer of child labor in the world.
Are there other views that you would like to share? Yes, ma'am, in the back.
I may not look like an elderly person,
yes,
but I'm getting up in years.
You're well preserved.
Things aren't as good as they were. You know, when I go uptown on Main Street, I can do all my business right there, and it's within walking distance of my home. Now there'll be the Walmart out on the edge of town, and how am I going to get there? I don't drive anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Our little town, as you know, only has two little taxis. We don't have a mass transit system. This is an issue for the elderly. On the other hand, if you can get there, the prices will be lower and the pharmacy prices will be much lower.
I'll drive you there. You can come in my car. I'll
All right, there we go. We're doing some networking right here.
I'll give you my number.
Another welfare cheat with a car.
My brother gave it to me. I'm not buying.
All right, let's hold off from the accusations. We're not getting anywhere with accusations, labels.
I fail to understand why she can't drive a few miles to a store, yet she's offering rides to other people here. I don't follow the...
Well, I mean, the nearest Supercenter is 40 miles from Bucalia.
Okay. Have you ever tried to raise two children on your own and work to try to put food on the table? It's difficult.
Yes, I grew up that way. Yes, it is difficult.
And I want to be the best mother that I can be.
I don't think Walmart is going to solve that problem.
Are there other voices that would like to be heard? Yes.
You wonder why Walmart's prices are so low. Like, think about other parts of the world where maybe big corporations like Walmart are having child labor, like you said, or are ruining the environment over there, or wrecking other communities' economy, just so we can have low prices.
Now, I'm sure that is not true, because I have read that Walmart always buys American goods when the goods are competitive, and I'm sure that what you're saying has no basis in fact.
Bring it home to the USA, if you don't know
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. They buy American. They tell you. It's in the stores. It's everywhere. This is an American company that buys American goods. We know that. They say so.
You know, and I've even heard that they help prisoners. Because they have prisoners take off labels that from Taiwan, and they put USA labels on them in the prison.
And of course, the thing that I think has become clear even at this meeting, for you citizens who haven't spoken yet, is the tactics that Walmart is willing to resort to if they don't succeed here in the council meeting. We've heard it said several times, both by people supporting it and by people against it, that they will take this down to court, threatening litigation. And so they basically are not interested in being held accountable to the people they're allegedly serving. I mean, in other words, there's no sense of their immediate responsibility to us as a community. They're coming in here, and before they even locate here, they're resorting to strategies that go beyond us, so that we can see, unlike our local merchants, unlike Nellie here, with whom we share neighborhoods and churches, and our kids go to school with her kids and so forth, and she's held accountable by being a part of this community. The Walmart people are similarly going to be held accountable directly to us, and have already threatened to take matters out of our hands. So that should be a sign right there of what we're in for indefinitely if we let them set foot here.
I think we can solve this, though, because one of my good friends from high school married this man from Vermont, and she's living there now. And she wrote and told me that Vermont fought for 7 years and said that they did not want a Walmart in there. And this whole state, it's rural. There's the biggest town there is 85,000 people. Everything else is smaller. They fought and fought, and finally Walmart came in. But they did it on their stipulations. They said that the Walmart had to move into the center of the town in a pre-existing building, not move way out in some other field. And so it was a part of the community. And it wasn't this mega store. It was the same size as all the other stores. And if I can put that in my community so I can get to a point of stability in my life with my children, I think that's manageable. I don't know the politics at all, but I would, Mayor, maybe this is where you come in. But.
Well, the problem, Connie, as you know, is that our town already has a Walmart, and it's precisely because so many of us have patronized it that they wish to build the super center. And the problem is, as you know, that it is so much larger than their existing store that there simply isn't any property in our downtown, our Main Street area, that is of sufficient size. And so they want to build now on this sort of green belt around our town this large structure, and that's the situation we're in. I'm sure everyone here would love to see it downtown, but as you know, we already have the Walmart. It's not quite downtown. It's on in that mall area out there. In order to get the super center, they need to move to another area.
And I think we need to be realistic about this. I mean, Walmart studies these things very, very carefully. They lay out the grid, they look at the geography of states, they know precisely where the likely commercial centers are going to be for the next 10, 20, 30 years. They wouldn't have chosen Bucalia if they didn't have faith in our community that we're going to be one of the ones that thrives. It's unfortunate that some of the smaller towns are drying up, but hey, that's just the fact of life. Mm-hmm. You know, that things are dying. But we should feel fortunate that Walmart has chosen us. They don't do this by random chance. They study it very, very carefully, and only the communities that they think are worth investing in for the future get one side of one of these stores. So be realistic, folks.
It's a compliment as well.
Yeah. It is.
This community's going somewhere.
Let's talk about profits. Nellie's profits will be used in town here. She's going to take her profits, go to the Chevy garage or whatever garage your car belongs to, and spend money there. That dealer will take his money, spend it at a local grocery store. Where does the Walmart profit go to? Benton, Arkansas. Who from Benton, Arkansas is going to come to our town and spend that profit?
Are there any employees here from Walmart tonight who might want to speak to that comment?
No, but Walmart's offered me a job, and none of the rest of you have.
Yeah.
So I want to know what your proposal is. If you don't have Walmart come in, who's going to offer me a job, and what's the plan to create jobs?
If Walmart's offered him a job, I'm against it. I've been listening very carefully, and that did it.
Pastor, you have a lot of work to do in this community.
Walmart's offered Nellie a job for one quarter of the income she makes now.
There's a movie about that. I think it was called You've Got Mail.
You've Got Mail?
Right.
Well, I haven't seen that movie. You want to say more about that?
You haven't seen that movie?
Well,
he's been busy in the Bahamas being bought off.
You were saying.
How many of you have seen that movie?
Raise your hands if you've seen I've Got Mail. You've Got Mail. About half. Third. Okay, what's the point?
It's the classic small bookstore owner gets forced out of business by the large superstore that comes into town.
The Barnes & Noble, uh-huh.
You don't have to buy your books at Walmart. You can just buy your toothpaste and your socks and underwear. I mean, we can still get books if you have.
Like all of you, we have tremendous economic problems in this town. We all know that. We've been in difficult times in recent years, but the solution to them is not selling out to a temporary advantage that runs us down the pathway even further away from democratically based equal opportunity living in this community. It does not help us to sell our birthright for a little porridge. It does not help us to give all of the opportunity that we now control collectively to a single corporate giant that will then suck out the marrow from us over the next 25 years while we have some temporary nice things going on. It is vital that we remember that we help this nation redirect its resources in a democratically based economic structure the way the country redirected them during the New Deal when they faced similar circumstances. We have to find the way out.
I see Mr. B.A. Realist has his hand up. I just want to alert everybody that there are only about 10 minutes left in our meeting, and then after that there'll be some other activities. So, Mr. Realist?
Well, let's be realistic. I mean, the last thing that Walmart wants to do is to suck the life out of this community. You don't have any consumers there. You all know that Walmart takes a certain part of its profits and puts it back in the very communities that it's in. I mean, it's a good citizen. And there's another basic economic illusion here when you talk about...
I don't want to sponsor the stock.
Excuse me, sir. I saw it before. You may have the hand job on it before you. But this economic illusion, all the money's going to Arkansas, and we all know it takes money to make money. Yeah, I mean, there's some board of governors and Walmart's getting some money, but they're creating wealth. It's not zero sum. It's not a fixed pie. We're growing the pie. And so part of that pie stays here. Walmart wants to stay here because they want us to be affluent enough to consume this. So they're investing in our community.
Mm-hmm. Now, if Tom were to be hired by Walmart, Tom would share in profit sharing. He can choose to receive a portion of his pay in the form of shares in the Walmart Corporation. So it isn't entirely the case that all those profits get sucked out and then distributed through Bentonville to all shareholders, because some of those shareholders will live in our community and they will be called the 400 employees of the Walmart Supercenter.
I don't know if you've heard of the place or not. I went to Holden Village last week. Some guy.
Oh, yes, I've heard of that.
You heard of it? Okay, out there in Washington somewhere. This guy got up and told us something about the economy and the poor people, and this is a problem of us all, the 31 states, the population below the poverty level. And this country is being stretched between its poverty level and these higher up CEOs. And what can we do about that?
Well, Mr. Smith, you must have an answer to that kind of.
I'm just confused now. I don't know.
Well, Mr.
Goodbody.
Mr. Goodbody, have you been to our Walmart recently?
To the one that's present?
In our town?
Yes, yes. I have.
Yes. Yes. And how would you describe the composition of the people that are patronizing the Walmart in our town? Are they the rich?
Are they what?
Are they the rich?
No.
Who are they?
They're average to lower.
Mm-hmm.
So, we don't have too many rich in our town.
So can't we? Yeah, that's true. And we all wish we had more, because then we could tax the daylights out of them.
Right.
But can't you see the argument that they would be making, that in fact they are providing a service precisely to those people that are living on that edge? It's Walmart would, I'm not a shill for Walmart, but can't you see that they're providing a valuable service to those of low to moderate incomes?
Yes, but this guy at Holden really got me thinking.
Mm.
And I tell you, it did get me thinking to the point that, yes, we are really splitting. There's the CEOs and stuff, you know, $450 million a year.
And yeah, what does the chairman of the board make of Walmart?
Boy, I don't know. Does somebody know? Do you know?
Where does he stand on the richest in the world? He's the richest in the country, isn't he?
About seventh. And his daughter wants to buy the Nuggets basketball team and the hockey team in Denver. You know, $400 million is nothing to them.
And that money's got to come from somewhere.
Dr. Hansen?
No, it's not Dr. Hansen. I'm Mr. Henry. I run a hardware store here on the main street. I'm with Nellie here. And I've been listening to what this gentleman over here said about, you know, the importance of doing
Mr.
business
Newcomb?
With people that, you know, we share a community mm-hmm. with. And I think, Nellie, that you and I and the other people on Main Street ought to get together, and we should not only keep out the Walmart, but we better get rid of the McDonald's, Pizza Hut. We got a penny store.
Go through the list.
Yeah, we go through the list here. Yeah, because those stores are hooked up, you know, with a national chain. They just have people coming in there. They aren't really part of our neighborhood, in our town. So I think we ought to not only keep out Walmart, but we ought to run out some of those other folks as well.
What? Thank you, Mr. Henry. Yeah, get real.
You know.
Yes, Mr. Smith.
Just triggered something when he said that. I know, and I don't know much about this, but I know that there are some communities that they've started their own currency.
Mm-hmm.
And they've started their own currency. And you can trade between the different stores, and it's a way of doing just what he said. This is great. I think we need to form a committee. We got to get these people to study what some of these other communities are doing before. You know, I think we say no tonight, and we're going to study it some more. But I think we better find out about some of what these other communities are doing before we allow a Walmart in here. I'm convinced by some of my friends here.
Yes.
My name is Mr. Blue Collar Worker, and I live in a small town in western Washington called Port Townsend, where we're in the throes of this same discussion involving Rite Aid Pharmacy, another national chain. And it's polarized the community much as Walmart has in communities all across the country. And it's been the topic of untold barrels of ink in the local press, untold hours and weeks and months, in fact, of discussion at community meetings like this, and a similar discussion in houses of worship and private homes. And being single and having the luxury of reading the newspaper to my heart's content and attending as many meetings as I can stay awake for, I've observed that
and this one is most, getting late.
Most of these issues fall into three categories of the factual matters. That is to say, do these jobs that Super Walmart offers, do they in fact have benefits that small merchants, as well intended as they are, simply cannot afford to offer? So there are factual aspects. Mm-hmm. There are philosophical aspects, which would be something like, is big business bad business automatically, or sometimes, or never? And then there are value judgments, which is simply, why the heck do they want to build this structure on good agricultural land in the first place? But I'll relate a real-life story to me as a real-life consumer who has to work for my living wage. I didn't inherit anything. And I'll try to make this brief. It was a rainy Saturday afternoon back in February. The roads were treacherous coming across I-90, which is the interstate that carries you from eastern Washington to western Washington. I had company from the little town of Cleello coming to Port Townsend to show off their newborn 11 or 12 week old child. And on the way out to their car to wish them off, going into the teeth of a storm, I looked at their tires, and I saw their tires were really not too good. And I said, Carlos, Serena, you can't drive home over I-90 in this awful weather. Let me call up my local
service station
and see if they've got these tires that I have. They're really wonderful. I called up. And I mistakenly assumed that they were open until 6 p.m., which is their Friday hours. This was Saturday. Their normal hours were 5 p.m. on Saturday, not 6. I called them up and I explained the situation. I had company going back to eastern Washington. They were driving on bad tires. They had an infant. And I was really concerned that they were driving over the pass with these bad tires. They said, well, we do have them, but we're about to close. But given the circumstances you're describing, how far do you live from the station? I said, I could practically see it if it were not dark out. And they said, can you be here in 5 minutes? I said, absolutely. Whereupon I followed my friends Carlos and his wife, and the wife and child stayed behind at my house. I followed Carlos to the service station. Two fellows from the store kept it open for half an hour late to switch over the new tires, and then tallied up the bill, and they even deducted some off of the bill because the old tires still had a little bit of wear and would be suitable for dry weather use. And then and there, I told myself, I'll never spend another dollar on tires or any other automotive product anywhere else but this small mom-and-pop business. They made a customer out of life, for life, out of me, because of something outside the normal boundaries of business. And there are many places in my little town where I could have if I had gotten there during proper business hours, could have saved, I don't know, 20. By virtue of small town service, that far overrode any monetary savings that would have been realized. And I think after Walmart Superstore opens, after the initial glow of the balloons and the free ice cream for the kids wears off, people will always return to where they're treated well. And if you go into a gigantic superstore and the service is mediocre as it tends to be, or you can't find the book you prefer or the brand you prefer, that initial glow will wear off and you'll go back to where you're treated well.
Well, thank you, Mr. Blue Collar. I think we're going to take that as our closing statement for the evening. We've reached the end of the time for public comment. This is the first of three hearings on the zoning change. We'll have a couple more meetings. The council members are grateful for your input. They encourage you to communicate with them in letter and by phone, and also, of course, to attend future public meetings. Thank you for attending. Okay. No, we're not done, but I mean, you're welcome to leave, obviously. But you know, it's fun to step into roles and to play them, and I think it worked well, and we did so with a sense of humor, which I think was our goal. But at the same time, it probably constrains some voices and some perspectives as well. Before many of you arrived, I was just quizzing those that came relatively early about how many are facing an issue like this already in their community. And let's just take that poll again. How many of you are living in a community right now that is, to some extent, dealing with the issue of either urban sprawl or this sort of Walmart situation? I live in one, so I'll raise my hand too. So there's three hands up above, and so about, I would say close to half of us live in communities like that. I guess what I want to do first here is just invite anybody who hasn't spoken yet and who would like to say something about this issue, and now maybe not in someone else's voice, but in your own voice. Is there something that you've been wanting to say but haven't jumped in to say yet? Folks that have been silent thus far. Other perspectives you would like to add? Yes.
Just a side note might be that internet commerce may outdo all of this in draining funds from our communities.
From our communities.
And disorder, even the kind of community that you can have by bumping into someone at Walmart, you know. Uh-huh. I mean, the isolation. So, I mean, Amazon.com is a real temptation to me. And I'm thinking about that.
Well, pharmacies are now going online, and you can purchase a lot of an awful lot of things over the internet.
There.
Yeah.
I just now think about this. Some comments from our community is all pretty built out, and it was before I got there. There's a big debate about a big Costco, which is down in Southern California, is like a kind of Walmart. Walmart's down there too. And there was a big bit of Costco move in, which is a big one of those warehouse stores where you buy it all.
Yeah, I went to one before. Dan, were you with me, Dan? No, I went to one before I came up to Holden because I'd bring up some supplies with me.
Yeah, there you go. And they sell tires there. You know, a guy in our congregation sells gas. He has a gas station down in Santa Monica. He says they're gonna start selling gas at Costco as well, and Walmart probably will start selling gas. And they don't care about the price of gasoline. They just want to draw customers in, so they will undercut. He said in about 20 years, the local gas station will be out of business as well. But my point is that we're in a suburb of LA, and the pace of life is fast. And the people have very little time, and that's how they feel. They're driving, they're commuting the freeways and all that. And what the Costco is doing is it's meeting the time need. In other words, you go in with this gigantic cart, and you buy it all, and you load in your urban assault vehicle.
She doesn't even have a driver's license.
Yeah. That's what I call them. I call them the Chevy of servants, you know. It's a gigantic vehicle. They can do it all in one fell swoop, you know, mm-hmm. and they can bring the stuff home and stock it and put it in the larder and the big freezers and
right.
and they don't have to go lots of places because time is of the essence, mm-hmm. and that Costco meets a time need.
Economies of scale.
Yeah,
efficiency.
It works.
Yep.
But that's so ironic because like people are trying to not be consumers by, you know, not going to the store and shop as much by, and then they're patronizing that store, which I don't know.
That's everything.
Yeah, they do all of their consumption there.
I wanted to respond to Dorothy's comment about internet commerce. One of the things that I think we can do in regards to that, even though we still may feel drawn to buy over the internet, there are local companies in your area, most likely, who are online, who you can purchase from. I know in my town of Portland, Powell's Bookstore, which is my very favorite, mm-hmm. it's the best bookstore in the world, which is locally owned, is online. And I can go there and purchase things that way. And the entry level for a business to go online with their business is actually fairly low. It is something that smaller businesses can do. So if you pay attention to where that business is located and try to make some kind of connection, that is something that you can do to try to support your local businesses.
So that technology can actually reinforce the local community rather than undermine it.
Yeah, but you have to pay attention.
Mm-hmm. Jack?
I was just going to say, you know, I made my flipping comment about Walmart and Mart and child labor, but it's a true comment. And there have been a number of initiatives that have been pressuring companies to adopt codes of conduct related to their operations overseas. And I dislike the Gap for other reasons, but the Gap is one of those. That was the first kind of victory where pressure, consumer pressure by church groups and others have forced the Gap to abide by a kind of code of conduct, allow independent human rights monitors in their factories, a whole bunch of things. Same thing happened with Kathy Lee Gifford. And now the ones that are being worked on are Disney, Nike, and Walmart. Mm-hmm. So, but Walmart is really, really a biggie, despite the rhetoric. And I think we also need to be aware, and this is very troubling for me, that many times a Made in USA label simply means that it's made.
Assembled.
No, it's made on a, what's the name of the? Saipan. It's an offshore
factory
island that they allow them to use USA labels. So when it says made in USA, it's good to even question further and try to find out what that means.
Under the protectorates. Dan, you have
bringing up was, isn't Walmart starting to back off of that idea that if they buy American? They used to about 5 or 10 years ago, but I thought that they've had to start backing away from that.
Well, I have heard them say fairly frequently now, we buy American when we can, when the goods, when the products are available at the same price. Well,
yeah, I mean,
where are you going to find that?
I sent my students on more than one occasion to Walmart just to ask them to try and find clothing or shoes that is made in the USA. I mean, it's virtually impossible. But I want to say one thing I really appreciate Jeff bringing up also in that in there is that where I feel really lost is between either or alternatives and just feeling like either is this or lose that. And I think Jack's suggestion of actually studying a variety of communities that are trying out different things so you don't get boxed into either or thinking. There are a variety of different ways to think about these issues, but so often as we just aren't even aware what else is going on.
I guess I want to offer a just step out of the role as moderator for a minute. I'm from Decorah, Iowa, and Brad is too. Our community is faced precisely with this issue, a Decorah Supercenter that wants to come. It's a little more complicated than this scenario presents. They signed options to buy land that wasn't in the city yet. Mm-hmm. And so it was going to come before the county. And the county was probably not going to approve the loss of agricultural land. So the problem is the city had already slated the land in question and lots of other land for annexation. And it's within the 2-mile radius that cities in Iowa can involuntarily annex. if the city wants to annex you and you're within the 2 mile radius, you're going to get annexed, whether you like it or not. And so, in addition to that, the city had already drawn up what it intended to do with that land. So some would be zoned residential, some light industrial, some commercial. The land Walmart had already signed an option to buy, the city of Decorah had already in its annexation plan designated as commercial. So when they bought the land and they knew the county wouldn't go for it, they voluntarily raised their hand and said, we'd like to be annexed. And the city couldn't say no, they'd lose in court because they've already said they want to annex the land, right? So then the Citizens for Responsible Development, which is a group in town which is trying not to go with an either or option, was trying to say, let's have responsible development, let's have sustainable development, let's have development that complements existing businesses rather than competes with them directly head to head. Citizens for Responsible Development said, well, let's use our economic planning document, which Decorah actually has. And it was made written in the 1990s, early 1990s. But the problem is the economic planning document doesn't stipulate that commercial retail areas should be limited to a certain size. And so the argument that the Citizens for Responsible Development are making is that 170,000 square foot retail space dwarfs anything else, whether it's a grocery or a bookstore or whatever, in town. It's just not fair. It's a different kind of competition. And you're going to get beat. I mean, there's just no way around it. And so what CRD was saying was, let's say anything under 100,000 square feet. But the problem is the document doesn't say that. And so if the city council were to turn around, that's the situation the city council's been in. If the city council were to turn around and say, we're going to deny you your request to have this change to commercial, A, they'll lose because they've already said they want it designated as commercial, and then B, if they add a further stipulation that it needs to be 100,000 square feet or less, they will lose because their economic planning document doesn't say that. And all I'm trying to get across here is this is a practical thing, I think, for communities that are faced with this or that may be faced with it in the future, is go home and find out if you have an economic planning document and study other communities to see, at least the ones that may have been successful in fending off Walmarts or Costcos or whatever, and see if in fact they have language like this that may enable you to go before a court and to say, we are applying criteria which we have democratically appropriated and which we have a right to implement to govern the welfare of our community. And you do have that right. Cities do have the right to determine zoning and the types of zoning and to designate, you know, criteria that define that zoning. And so the problem is it's too late for Decorah. That's,
I don't understand one thing.
That situation.
You said, according to Iowa law, the area within a 2 mile radius may be annexed.
Yeah.
Voluntarily.
Yeah.
But must it be if the person requests? I mean, why couldn't the city simply refuse to annex that particular?
Because they would lose in court if you've already designated this area and you've stated publicly that you intend to annex this area, and then a landholder says, "Well, I want to be voluntarily annexed now, not in stage three," you're going to lose in court. Walmart would say, "Well, I don't get it. You've said publicly that you want to annex this land. We're saying let's do it now." So it's just one of those real tough spots. What's that?
Who'd they buy it from? Walmart.
That's even more interesting. It's three different parcels. One of the parcels belongs to a Norwegian American museum in town. And so the cultural heritage of the town, which many think is at risk, is being imperiled precisely by one of the primary institutions that maintains that.
And they knew who was purchasing it where?
What's that?
And the Norwegian American Museum was aware completely who was purchasing it.
Yeah, and there's a lot. Yeah, they are. Yeah, they weren't duped into it. They knew exactly what they were doing. They're broke. They need the money. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you dance with the devil.
And the others are farmers, local farmers?
Yeah. Just trying to make a buck. Yeah. Well, we're at 9:30, and you know the purpose of forums is not to reach consensus. We could have had a straw vote or something on whether to deny zoning, you know, to commercial. I don't think that would be quite the point. Are there any folks that have comments that they'd like to get in before we end this part of it? Yes.
Has anyone read the novel Where the Heart Is about the person who is homeless, who has the baby in the Walmart, and how this wonderful sense of community develops around her? Everyone from the child coming into the store to the welcome wagon lady. Mm-hmm. She lives in the Walmart for weeks with this new baby.
Right.
Where the Heart Is.
Well, I'll just say, you know, that is my perception of the Walmart in my town, is that there is a community among the people that work there. They care about each other. They do contribute to the community. But the reality is, as this gentleman said, the profits from that company get siphoned off to Bentonville. And while a fraction may get spattered around to the shareholders that, you know, are employees of the company, the vast majority is going to the relatives of San Walton.
I mean, suppose a small retail owner might have a condo in Maui. They might own an airplane. I mean, how does that small business owner's profits being invested in a condo in Maui or an airplane benefit the community?
Exactly. Profit, we're assuming.
The only aspect of the profits that matter to your community is their power to do good or evil in your community. If you donate, as my employer does, X percentage, regardless of how the company does, it's a straight percentage of after-tax profits to civic causes within the community, that's a tangible benefit. But to say that profits of a local-owned business are somehow inherently good, better, or worse than profits that may or may not all flow to Bentonville, Arkansas, which is acknowledged to be an excellent employer, almost universally, as far as I'm aware, What makes a profit good or bad is not per se who makes that profit, but rather how they make it and what they do with it.
Yeah.
But there are studies that indicate that a dollar that you know, local business circulates seven times a dollar spent at Walmart circulates once.
Studies like that are so diffuse as to be meaningless. I mean, again, I can only use the example.
Well,
yeah, if a local owner in your community is reinvesting the profits in a tangible cause, perhaps it does. But many businesses are owned by people who are not at all altruistic. They may live, you may know who they are, they may live up the block, they may attend your church, their kids may play with your kids, but they may or may not be.
That doesn't mean their money's sitting in the bank in Bucalli. It may be sitting at Chase Manhattan.
They may even stick all their profits into a local bank, which may or may not even extend favorable terms if you go looking for a mortgage.
The flip side of this too is that communities that really could use a Walmart in many cases, I mean, it does come to prosperous local communities. In the city, if 7-Eleven shows up in some neighborhoods, you know that community is going to go up, because these companies will not invest in city markets, because they're afraid of all of that, the urban stuff that goes with it. So that's the flip side. In some places where you could die for a Target, you know, and then never even will consider coming in there. They're going to stay on the outskirts where it's nice and safe.
Mm-hmm.
They will not risk, you know, coming in where they could really be useful.
As an example of what this lady is saying, there's now a Kmart in Manhattan. There's a Kmart, which is as budget, low-brow department stores they are, in Manhattan, where it used to be there was nothing.
Midtown, though.
Well,
she's from Manhattan.
Not Harlem.
I didn't say it was in Harlem, although Harlem's going upscale pretty darn fast. Mm-hmm.
It is. It's
starting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still up there.
Is there another hand? I see Mark's gesturing.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, actually, it's quite difficult in a lot of urban communities to get any kind of bigger business, grocery stores especially, into towns. Grocery stores don't want to even go near that, even though these communities are dying for having groceries available.
Groceries are a tough business.
Yeah,
now, see,
it is
this,
a real tough.
This is what Walmart made a lot of money, a lot of growth in the 70s and 80s. Then it plateaued because it pretty much saturated America with Walmart. Now they've decided, well, how can we grow? Well, we're going to go after the grocery sector, and it's very low profit margins, but one of the reasons why they're being successful and why they're going to be the biggest grocer in America in about 2 years is because they have this incredible distribution system that allows them to get the product to the shelf the second you sort of need it. But the other thing that just was in the New York Times two weeks ago is that they have bought a bank in Mississippi, I think, somewhere in the South, and now they're going to offer financial services in their super centers, so that when you use an ATM, it'll be their ATM. And it, again, though, it's one of the ways that'll help is for poor people who can't always meet the qualifications to maintain an account somewhere, and so they live on cash. And they don't have a safe place to keep it. Well, here, you know, they can go to Walmart. Walmart will keep it. And apparently, they'll have favorable terms. And it's an interesting situation. We need to wrap this up. I know people are starting to walk out. It's 9:38. We normally keep this to an hour. So let's call it quits for now. And then if anybody wants to stick around and talk more, let's do that. But thanks for coming.
Thank you.
And it was an experiment tonight.